Radio EcoShock.
On to our second guest. California Governor Gavin Newsom reported February 17th that 7,100 residential parcels in Los Angeles were cleared of the household hazardous waste after the fires. Really? The incoming Trump administration slashed environmental protection standards for this to make it happen. Only the top 6 inches of toxic ash are being removed. No measurements are being taken. And toxic waste is being spread over famous beaches for sorting. In fact, we don't know much about soil burned out in cities, or even how to restore millions of acres burned by wildfires each year in America alone. We need to look deeper. Winter fires in New Jersey, Canadian towns burned down, and then part of Los Angeles is wiped out by fire. It's the same in many parts of the world. Remember the Greek fires just last year? It has come to this. All of us need to understand how to care for land after the wildfire. Your beloved home site may be toxic. The soil can be burned dead. The wind will spread particles of ash huge distances for weeks or months afterwards, making this everybody's problem. What can be done? Russell Taylor is a soil expert. Headquartered in Utah, he does soil restoration for a living. Russell knows how dirt works before and after fires. From the 2025 World Ag Expo in Tulare, California, Russell Taylor, welcome to Radio EcoShock.
Thank you for having me, Alex.
I'm glad you are here. So let's get to work. After cities burned down in recent years, authorities cordoned off the area and delayed the return of residents. You couldn't even get back there. Would toxic fire ash be a factor as a public health threat?
Yeah, so what happens when you burn certain products such as plastics and some of these man-made compounds, it creates some potentially negative things for both the soil and the humans. And also some of the contents of those things. You know, heavy metals are one concern, like lead, arsenic, cadmium, mercury. The other one would be polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons, or what they call PAHs, and those are resulting from burned organic matter. Other carcinogens such as dioxins, furan, and plastics can also create some additional chemicals. So something to pay attention to. There's some other potentially negative outcomes, and those would be things like the result of burnt products. So like wood products, for example. When you burn wood products, it actually creates wood ash, which is extremely alkaline. And so that can negatively impact just simple soil parameters such as soil pH, making soil correction also necessary.
About 12,000 homes and businesses burned to the ground in Los Angeles fires of January. Picture a family returning to their lot. They just arrived, maybe with a shovel and a rake. What would you say to homeowners planning to rebuild or recover?
So the first thing to pay attention to is some of that dust is respiratory, and the risk is respiratory. So a lot of times just sweeping up that ash can stir up those contaminants. And so I know people want to be ambitious and go and sweep those things up, but you're going to get heavy metals and those things like in the dust. So, you know, wear an N95 mask, try not to stir up any dust. Try to wet the dust before you do sweep it up to try to minimize the exposure. And the next thing is, you know, sometimes washing that dust down the street is just moving the problem down the road. So, you know, follow guidelines and try to clean up as best you can and pay attention to both your risk and the risk downstream.
Seen from the air, Russell, just the blocks and blocks of homes burned in Malibu. They look like a massive gray graveyard. A lot of homeowners will not be able to rebuild for various reasons, and they may not rehabilitate their ground either, and then you get little ash pockets still threatening other homeowners with every wind. Can such a big restoration really happen with every homeowner on their own, or do you foresee a larger government project to make the whole area safe again?
So being a private company, I really can't speak to the government interest and involvement. You know, I would encourage homeowners to, you know, take ownership of both their land and their neighborhoods. And there's things that can be done at the small level, you know, planting plants, creating barriers that would capture any moisture that would run off another property, those type of things, cover crops, all can be done to help reduce, you know, your exposure from those neighbors.
And after fire, we may picture the ground left with soft ashes, but maybe the afterground could instead turn into a hard layer that's unfriendly to plants. So what do you think will happen there?
Right. So there's a couple of negative impacts that happen when you burn soil. And the number one thing is soil organic matter. So your soil organic matter has three major components that should be a concern. You know, and the first is the microbiology that's living there. Depending on the heat of the fire, you could actually kill those soil microbes. The next thing is burning off your two organic pools. You have your active organic matter, which is food for microbes. It helps cover the soil, keep the soil cool, moist, and hold in moisture. Your passive fraction of your soil organic matter is actually gone through degradation already, and it contributes to soil structure. And people don't realize this, but you know, think of it as like caramel in a nut roll. It helps form those soil aggregates. And those soil aggregates are responsible for percolation of water, infiltration of water, and storage of water. So a lot of times when you have these high heat fires, you kill the soil biology and the soil structure. And those soils become hydrophobic in nature, where the water hits the surface and repels instead of penetrates. So there's a certain amendments you can use to help mitigate and re-improve your soil organic matter.
Another important cycle in California, well, everywhere really, is drought and flooding. And these two interact, so flooding may be more likely after drought hardens the land. Does the legacy of wildfires play into this drought and flood back and forth?
The organic matter is really your reservoir for your water. Now, I can't speak to the weather patterns because that's not my expertise. But what I can say is the number one thing any homeowner can do is improve their soil organic matter for two reasons. It impacts your percolation rate, so that means it actually can help that water run through the soil profile, and it also creates what they call micropores. And micropores hold moisture through what they call capillary action. And most people might be familiar with this when they put a straw in a glass of water and they see the water kind of pull up in that straw. That's capillary action. And so when you have that happen in the soil, what happens is you actually increase your water holding capacity. And I'll give a number that's used by the USDA, National Resource Conservation Service, and the acronym NRCS. And they say that a 1% change in soil organic matter will conserve 30,000 more gallons of water per acre. Well, that's a meaningful number for any homeowner. I mean, 30,000 gallons will fill a lot of swimming pools. But that makes use of water from rain events and from water coming down through the surface to help that percolate in the soil instead of just run off. So in the greater scheme of things, you know, focusing on soil organic matter is something you can do and you can impact, whereas, you know, those weather-related events, you know, a little bit harder to predict and plan for.
So after every fire, the next heavy rains can bring hillsides down into homes and shops. But you say the problem and the solution is not just about replanting, getting some plants above the soil, but repairing the actual dirt itself. Why is that a factor and why do we have to do that first?
Right. So, again, those soil colloid has collapsed. So those things that were holding that soil structure open are now closed, and so the water can't penetrate. And so there's two mechanisms to do that. You can change the surface tension of the water through a surfactant. That helps the water penetrate the soil. But adding organic matter, it helps form those soil structures. So adding compost, manures, products like humates and humic acids, those things help create soil structure that would allow that rain after that fire event to help penetrate the soil and begin the healing process. Because there's a few things that need to occur, and that's water for seeds for germination, and also creating a soil structure that prevents runoff, because it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy that water can't get into soil, it runs off the surface. It takes soil with it, and so you're now degrading further soil structure and soil organic matter that's run off into the streams and the lakes.
So you're in a private business. It's called Live Earth Products. It's in Utah. Without naming specific products, what do we need on a large scale to restore viable soils in this age of increasingly intense wildfires?
So to understand products like humates and humic acids that Live Earth Products manufactures, you need to understand soil organic matter. Now, soil organic matter, again, has two components, an active pool and a passive pool. Now, the active pool is being actively broken down by the soil microbes. So to give you an example, let's say you put 100 pounds of compost down. In 1 year, your soil microbes will degrade that 100 pounds by 60 to 80 pounds. 60 to 80% of your active organic matter goes back to the air as CO2 the first year. So those things that you're applying to build up soil organic matter, they're being degraded quickly. You need to add more of them. So to change your soil organic matter 1% using active organic matter, it would take about 200,000 pounds of organic matter per acre. Change your soil organic matter 1%. That's a lot of material. So products like humate and humic acid, the live earth products manufacturers, have already gone through that degradation process. We're basically mining an ancient tropical forest floor. So that material is fully degraded and is able to be broadcast just like a fertilizer. And people can use that to amend their fertilizers or their soils to help retain fertilizers and make those nutrients and water last longer. So focusing on your soil organic matter will do two things. It'll help build structure, it'll help retain nutrients, and then last but most importantly, it also creates a home for both microbes and life that may have been destroyed in that fire.
I know a lot of home gardeners are listening closely to what you just said. Do you know if government planners at various levels, do you happen to know this, are they including proper soil cleaning and restoration in their plans?
That I don't know. Most of my background is actually in agronomy and in agricultural efforts. So you actually see programs through the NRCS that would supplement soil organic matter and nutrient plans. The farmers in larger scale, and I'm assuming some smaller farmers, may also be able to use these programs to help get government support for using these conservation practices to improve soil organic matter and nutrient retention.
Well, on the farm front, we interviewed farmers organizing to measure carbon capture in their soils, possibly as another income for the farm. But it sounds impossible to repair wildland soils the way we might in a Los Angeles suburb. Maybe we're seeing a widespread change in soils across the West and parts of South America, wherever fires are burning, due to the intensity of wildfires. Do you have any opinions on that?
My opinions are not regional. They're more focused on soil organic matter itself. So I can't speak to one region in South America or other places in the United States as much as I can. Soil organic matter is universal. It's a universal storage system for water and nutrients. And anytime there's a fire, that should be the number one focus, is improving your soil organic matter.
Dr. Mike Flanagan, he's a Canadian fire expert, and he told us on radio two factors can prevent a forest from growing back. First, if another fire burns that area within 5 years, that kills the baby trees before they develop seeds. But the second, some recent fires have burned so hot, he says, that the soil was sterilized. Not much grows there for a long time. Russell, have you heard of that, and is there a way to restore badly burned soil?
Yeah, so you've got two types of fires. One would be a simple brush fire like you would see in the Midwest, where the grass is flashed and burned off quickly, and even the grass plant itself is not damaged. These super fires that are burning really hot, where you actually change the soil organic matter, you're burning away both the soil microbes, the active organic matter, and the passive organic matter, those are all destroyed. For me, I'm a more of a field of dreams kind of guy. If you build it, they will come. If you create an environment that's favorable for soil microbes, those soil microbes will live and proliferate. And they're usually brought in through rainwater and rivers, streams. All those things will supply certain microbes. Now, you can amend those soils and soil microbes, and those consortia-type products will have a broad spectrum of microbes that are favorable for soil growth. So the problem I have with that is, these microbes may not be regionally favorable for you. So, the microbes that are doing well in soils in Florida might not do well in soils in Maine or some colder climate. So that's something to pay attention to when you're amending soil microbes. I'm a big proponent of amending the soil with those components that the microbes need, such as improving soil organic matter, both passive and active pools, those things that contribute to microbe food, and also those things that are home for microbe by improving soil structure.
Can plants be used to remove contaminants from fire-damaged soil?
Absolutely. And there's some fun things about phytoremediation where you can actually plant plants that would specifically absorb toxins and heavy metals. Some things such as sunflower, mustard green, even ferns would remove arsenic from the soil. The one thing is to pay attention to those plants you're planting, remove them and dispose of them correctly because you are aggregating things such as arsenic and heavy metals in those plants.
You have some advice for Los Angelinos who are facing fire loss. What do you advise for the short-term and then longer-term goals for soil restoration after a fire?
So I think the first thing is make sure you're not losing your topsoil. That's the number one thing, to prevent runoff and erosion. to establish some barriers such as straw mats and those things on the slope side of the property where that soil might go. It takes thousands of years to make that top inch of soil organic matter. And so you want to retain that. Even if that soil organic matter wasn't burned off, if you burned off that material that was anchoring it, such as the lawn, the leaf, the litter, those type of things, you know, any type of barrier to prevent runoff or erosion is key. You know, minimize the disturbance and try to take those ash-covered areas and make sure you're wearing an N95 mask and sweeping that ash up and removing those possible contaminants or exposure to both humans and those downstream. Other things that you might consider is even assessing the damage as far as what you have as far as heavy metals, whether that be soil testing or testing for other compounds such as polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons, dioxins, furans. Those are a little more expensive tests, so you know you might pay some caution to that and assess whether there's a risk or not. But monitoring your soil quality, just such as pH. You know, sometimes soil pH makes a big difference in reestablishing plants. You know, get something growing. And that's one mantra you'll see in regenerative agriculture is always have living roots. You want to make that soil live. You want to feed the soil microbes. And plants actually have what they call root exudate. They're actually exuding a little bit of that carbon out in the soil. And so by keeping live plants in that soil, you're improving that soil. Even if the plan is to grow lawn later or a garden or something, get something there growing now, an annual crop, even oats, you know, something like that to keep live roots in the soil.
You just stepped out from a major conference to speak with us. What goes on at World Ag Expo?
World Ag Expo is a cornucopia of the world. You see farmers from all over the world here, both excited to showcase their wares, learn about equipment, and learn about soil amendments. So as a manufacturer of soil amendments, Live Earth's been here for about 15 years now, and we're happy to contribute to this large commerce, and it's just a lot of fun. Farmers and agricultural providers from around the world.
Speaking from Tulare, California, our guest is global soil earth expert Russell Taylor. He is vice president of Live Earth Products in Utah. You can find links to follow up in my show blog, Wednesdays at ecoshock.org. Russell, thank you for reminding us about the facts below our feet.
Thank you for having me, Alex. Appreciate it.
For Radio EcoShock, I'm Alex Smith.
Check out the Radio EcoShock website. We're at ecoshock.org.